Well, if it's your first Sunday with us, or if you haven't been with us for a while, we're in week seven. We're actually on the sixth of seven soul shifts. We're talking about things that God wants to do deep within us to change sort of our soul. And this week, we're going to talk about the shift from sheep to shepherd. Before we do that, I have a question. Have you ever been eating something, whatever it was, and you've thought to yourself as you're eating the thing, why am I eating this? Have you ever had that moment? Why am I putting this food in my mouth right now? I don't even really know, but I just continue to do it, right? Maybe for you it was you were at the restaurant and you had a great meal and you're full and the server was able to convince you that your life would not be complete without dessert, so you order it and then you sit there eating dessert thinking, I do not need this right now. I am so full, but it tastes so good, right? Or maybe like me, I really like popcorn. I don't know why I really like popcorn, but I really like popcorn. I try to stay away from the hyper buttery ones, but I like popcorn, right? And so a lot of nights, I'll just pop a bag of popcorn, and I'll sit there, whether we're watching a TV show, or whether I'm reading, or just Brian and I are talking, I'll eat popcorn. It's kind of one of the things I do. But sometimes we've just eaten a big meal, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go sit down now, so I should make some popcorn. So I make some popcorn, and then I sit down, and I'm eating my popcorn, thinking, I don't need to eat this. But we just had dinner, right? Like, do you ever have those moments where you eat something? I was actually looking, and I found out there are a whole bunch of reasons why we eat when we're not hungry, apparently. Who knows? We eat to cope, apparently, or out of boredom. We eat because other people are eating. We eat because there's food in front of us. That's a pretty simple reason, right? We eat because it's a special occasion. We tend to overeat at those ones, right? We eat because it's free, and we don't want to waste something that someone gave us, or that is free. And we eat, I've never felt this one, but we eat because some of us suffer from, they said, clean plate syndrome. Right? You grew up and your parents told you don't ever leave your plate anything on, right? So you have to clean it. It doesn't matter if you are still hungry or not. There's lots of reasons, maybe those don't connect, why we do stuff. Lots of reasons why we eat what we do. Lots of reasons why we buy the things that we buy, why we watch the things that we watch, why we like certain kinds of vacations more than other ones. Lots of reasons for lots of things that we do in life. There's also lots of reasons why people come to Jesus. Why people come to Christ. There's lots of reasons why we do that. Most of them are really good reasons, for the most part, right? Like, maybe we came to Jesus the first time for forgiveness. It's a good reason. Maybe we've realized that in our life there are things that weren't the way God would have wanted them, and we start to realize that sin does exist in our life. And so we come to Christ for forgiveness. It's a good reason. Maybe we come for healing. Sometimes there's something in our life, whether it's physical or emotional, or someone we know, and they need healing. And so we come to Christ for healing. It's another really good reason to come. We come sometimes I've seen people come out of desperation. Sometimes until people hit the bottom of their rope, they don't know that they want to come to God. They can't even see Him until they've hit the bottom. Oftentimes they're just resistant until they hit the end of their rope, and then they come to Christ. Or maybe, and I've seen people, especially when I was a youth pastor, who came to Christ because they wanted a sense of belonging. They didn't have anybody that they fit in with. And they'd come to youth group and they'd fit. And they'd make sense and community drew them in. Lots of reasons. Lots of reasons why we come to Christ. The interesting thing is we're in the book of Mark. And none of these reasons, or most of the other ones I could think of, are reasons why the disciples came to Jesus. In the book of Mark anyway. They're not the reasons they started following Him. Right? They came to Jesus basically because He came to them one day while they were out doing their stuff and just said, follow me. I don't care what you're doing right now, just follow me. Drop your nets and follow me. There was no promise of forgiveness in that moment, no promise of healing, no promise of anything. It was just follow me. That probably doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is kind of a big deal. And here's kind of why. In church today, in the world, a lot of times when we talk about the church and what we speak of, we often offer Christ or salvation as a way to cure something, like, say, sin, or as a way to get something, like, say, heaven. Those things are true, and if you've never done that, I'd encourage you, maybe today's the day you should get that part settled. But when that's all we talk about, we run the risk of people who come to Christ not knowing what to do after they've got that thing. For instance, if we came to Christ to receive forgiveness, that was our motivation for coming to Him, and we get to the place that we've received it, then what? What comes after that? If we come to Christ for healing, and the person or ourselves who is in need of healing is healed, then what? What is thereafter? If we come out of desperation and we're able to find our way through Christ out of that moment, where do we go? When all we speak of is forgiveness, or all we speak of is healing, we run the risk of people, even ourselves maybe, losing interest as we seem to get the thing we were after. This is what a shift from sheep to shepherd is going to be all about. It's about learning that part of accepting the call to follow Jesus, as the disciples did, is to embrace the responsibility to take up the mission that he's calling you to take up responsibility for someone else's spiritual life. That beyond all of the reasons, as sheep, that we come to Christ, all these reasons why we come to him, maybe he has reasons that he brought us to him. Maybe he has purposes for us beyond the reasons that we came to him. Sheep are pretty much, when we talk about a sheep, if you could picture a sheep, I've never been around many sheep in my life, but I'm thinking to myself, a sheep, what are sheep interested in? Primarily probably food, right? Like living out in the field, they want some food. They seem to hang out in groups of sheep. I could be wrong about this, but most sheep I've seen are with other sheep. They usually are pretty concerned, it seems to me, about staying together so they're protected and safe. I don't even know what else sheep do. That seems to be what they do, right? They're mostly concerned about themselves as sheep. Maybe some of you raised sheep, and after this you can tell me how wrong I am. But sheep are primarily concerned about themselves and about what they're getting and how they're surviving. If you think of the shepherd of those sheep, what is he primarily concerned about? He's primarily concerned about the other sheep. He still has to eat. He still has to survive. He still probably has relationships with other people. But his primary concern is taking care of the sheep, seeing them grow, making sure they have the food they need, coming alongside, seeking out the one that gets lost as opposed to the 99 that are there. So the shift happens when we stop worrying so much about us, and maybe for the first time we start worrying more about what God's doing in a certain place. We start worrying more about the spiritual climate of our work. What is God wanting to do where we live? What is God wanting to do where we go to school? What is God wanting to do in our activities and our vacations and with our friends and in the home next door? Has God put us in that place to influence it, to change it, to help other people grow? Let me give you a really simple example. It's not spiritual, but it's a good example, and it kind of fits in something later. Have you ever heard of Dan's Coffee Run? It was on Facebook a while ago. Last year it kind of went viral. I got on a couple TV shows. I can tell you all about it, but I'm just going to let this little video introduce you to Dan's Coffee Run. You can check it out.
My name is Dan. We're coming every Thursday at the same time, about 10:30. And he would order about 14 to 20 drinks. That's a lot of drinks. What are you doing? He says, well, I'd bring them over to Michigan Cancer Institute.
What would you like today? What sounds good? I don't know. Not her choice. We have. We narrow it down.
I'll go with hot tea today. Just a little red color tea.
And you, sir?
I'm chocolate tonight with me.
Father went to the hospital. I says, do you want a coffee? Then there's people sitting beside him. I says, he's fine. I got his wallet. So then anybody who was sitting there could get a free whatever they wanted. I bring it back to him. So it just started like that. I asked him, should I keep going? People enjoyed it. He goes, yeah, go ahead. There's three words that I'll remember forever.
I call him Dan Bang. Not only does he bring coffee, he's doing it out of his heart because what he's doing is just trying to make a difference.
He is now an official caregiver. He's giving coffee. He's a Lisa's a caregiver, I'm a caregiver. Dan is a volunteer caregiver.
He's a special person. He was put here for a reason.
Not so much as what he does, but just the way he tries to cheer everybody up when he's here.
All right. One business guy.
When I came to meet the doctor and staff, he says, you're going to love coming on Thursdays. It's like, now why would a chemo patient be happy about coming on Thursday? I soon found out it was because of Dan.
Every witness is, but when you get on this, it's like, because all these people really enjoy it. They enjoy some goofball over shorts in the winter.
I just have a reaction on my second chemotherapy day. Dan had gone out to get the coffee, and when he came back, he brought me a rose. And that was really, really, really special.
What touches me is the reaction in each person to make them smile. People without hope come in here for hope. I'll do it with my last breath and my last hour.
Okay, so that's Dan's coffee. Here's why I showed you that video. Dan, the first time he ever went to chemo, right, with his dad, they went to the hospital for a reason. They went there because his dad was sick. And they came into an environment that was already established. I've known a few people that have been on chemo. I haven't known a lot. And I do know that they have comfortable chairs. I mean, that's the one thing I've noticed about all the chemo units I've been in, and which aren't very many, at least a few I've seen. But it doesn't seem like a super, like, happy, chipper place to be usually, right? But his dad needed something. He needed to be healed. And actually, it doesn't say in the video, but his dad, maybe it does, his dad passed away a few years later. And Dan took a moment where he said, there's something where I can take this environment and start to change the environment. And so he started getting coffee. And it started to change the whole dynamic of that room. It started to change the whole dynamic of that place because he took ownership of that place. And so in the video, they say Thursdays are different. Thursdays are different because of Dan. I was having a bad chemo day, but Dan brought me something, and it changed everything. In a spiritual sense, if we can take the analogy, Dan was kind of a sheep, but he transitioned into being a shepherd for that little chemo unit. He changed the dynamic. Spiritually, that's what God's calling us to. To places that we exist and live, to start to make a change in the spiritual climate of those places. To be used by God for the things that He's calling us to do within His mission. That really implicit, as the video said, within the call to follow Christ, is the call to enlist, the call to serve, the call to advance His kingdom. So I want to look at that call that Jesus issues to the disciples. We're going to look at three passages in Mark. They'll be up on the screen as well, but we're going to start in Mark chapter 1, we're going to go to Mark chapter 3, and then Mark chapter 6. We're going to be in those three places looking at this call of Jesus to the disciples about what it meant for them to follow and what He was actually asking of them to do. The first in Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20, this is the moment when Jesus calls them, at least the first time in Mark that He calls the disciples to follow. Starting in verse 15, if you look through there, you'll see that He starts by just saying what? Come, follow me. But that's not all He said. And then He said what? Because I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me because I'll make you fishers of men. From the first moment, from the first call to follow, there is a reason to follow. He didn't say, guys, I really want you to be my Facebook fans. I really want you to follow me on Twitter. Right? Give me your digits. I'll call you and give you updates when we get to Jerusalem. Right? Whatever. It wasn't like, let's be a fan. I'm going to send you my newsletter when I get some stuff accomplished. He said, follow me because I have a purpose for you. I have a mission for you. I want you to become fishers of men. And it didn't take him very long to tell him a little more about what he meant by that, right? If we jump to chapter 3. In chapter 3, 13 to 15, he's talking to all the disciples now. And he says to them, we've been doing this for a little bit. Here's what I'm telling you to do. He calls them in Mark 13 through 15. He says this, I want you to preach. And I want you to have the authority to drive out demons. So Jesus tells the ones who have been following Him, I don't just want you to hear the good news. I actually want you to put it into practice. I want you to share the good news. I want you to heal the sick. How you deliver people from evil. And really, Jesus is telling the disciples, I want you to do the exact same things that I've been doing. If you could look through the book of Mark and say, what things did Jesus do? Well, he taught a lot about the gospel and the good news, right? He healed a lot of people, and He delivered a lot of people from evil spirits or other evil in their life. I think most of what He does in the gospel of Mark could be summarized in those categories. And now He's saying, you disciples that have kind of been following me, I want you to do these things that I'm doing. I have a purpose for you. I have a mission for you. I have something I want you to do. I want you to take up the call to action for the kingdom. We see it again a couple chapters later in Mark 6. in Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. There's a large crowd that has followed. They've actually tried to get away, Jesus and the disciples. But the crowd has actually run ahead of them. And they're encountering this crowd, and Jesus sees them. And it says in Scripture, when he sees them, he thinks to himself, these people are like a sheep without a shepherd. He uses even the words we're talking about today. These people are like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus begins to teach them, Scripture says. It doesn't take very long before trouble comes. They don't have any food. And the disciples say, hey, all of you people, Jesus, we need to send them away. We need to let them go. In verse 37, Jesus says something pretty significant. He says, you feed them. That's a pretty striking point for Jesus to say something like, these are sheep without a shepherd. And even if it was just about food, a few moments later to say, you be the one who feeds them. Jesus' call to his disciples is fairly clear. As the video said in the intro, he didn't come simply to save them, he also came to recruit them. He didn't just come to save us, he's come to recruit us. That can be a challenging thought when we talked about being a sheep or coming to Christ for certain reasons. When we start to think God might actually have a purpose for us, that's a whole different reality. When he has called us to some role in his kingdom, that's completely different than having our needs met. But Jesus' call is for us to move toward, to become shepherds, to recruit us for the things he's trying to do, to action on behalf of his kingdom. So how do we do that? How do we move? How do we start to become a shepherd? I'm just going to encourage you with three things. The same three things we said Jesus did through most of the book of Mark, the same thing he called his disciples to do. The first one, preach the gospel. Now, before, I'm sure some of you right now are like, I don't want to get up there on Sunday, don't tell me how to preach, right? I could have prepared a message if I had to. Maybe you do need to preach, and if you have something God's placed on your heart, that could be a possibility. But I don't necessarily mean standing up here on Sunday and talking. I more or less mean, what has God done in your life that's your story, where you understand the good news, and how can you share that story with other people? How can you preach and teach the good news to others? Demonstrate the places in your life where the power of God has been at work and tell people about it. Tell them what he's done. There are places that God can use your story because he's done certain things in your life that will connect with other people. We back up the things we say by what we do. We start to say things and then we live them out. And we start to preach the gospel. We start to tell people the good news. We join in Christ's mission to tell people about him. Second, we heal the sick. Second thing Jesus did. I'm not necessarily saying you should go with Dan some Sunday and go to the cancer wing and try to heal everybody in the cancer wing. God does miraculously heal sometimes. That does happen. But I think more what I'm saying is, are you spending some time in prayer for those who are sick? There are mental, physical, emotional sicknesses. And how can we come alongside those people as a shepherd and help to heal them? You know, to some degree, the video about Dan, he did some healing, even though those people didn't necessarily all get healed of their cancer. In providing hope for them, a way to cope through what they were dealing with, he came alongside in the midst of their sickness and provided hope. Maybe we need to remind people in the midst of struggles that Christ is there, that his promises are real. We can come alongside the sick. And third, he told his disciples to deliver people from evil, is what he said, deliver them from spirits. Again, it's not always, I'm trying to be super literal about these, it's not always exercising a demon, although I do often wonder if we sometimes underestimate the spiritual component of our lives, particularly in this country. In many other countries, if you've been on missions trips, other things, places where they value and are interested in and respect the spiritual world, there is a lot more going on there at times than we want to recognize. But even more than that, I think we can help people disentangle themselves from the things that are holding them back from following God, from the sin in their life, helping people through things like addictions, helping people who have only ever known how to hate learn to understand the love of God, to speak to them about what God's done in our marriage to help their marriage. or forms of delivering people from evil. So when I say those things, where are you with people? Are there people in your life that fit those categories? Are there people that you need to tell the things God's done for you? Are there people that are sick around you, whether it's emotional or physical, that you need to come alongside? Are there people that you shepherd by saying, I see this thing is dragging you down? How can I help you get through this? How can I remind you of God's promises to you? How can I encourage you? I'm going to give you a quick assignment. Close your eyes for 1 second. Keep them closed and think of someone you know. First person that comes to your mind. If it's a family member, then think of somebody else. First person you think of that's not in your family. I want you to turn to someone sitting next to you and tell them who it is. Tell them who that person is you just thought of. Ready, go. Who'd you think of? Tell someone. You can talk. It's okay. Who'd you think of? So let me ask you this question about that person. Do you think it's possible that God brought that person to your mind because you are supposed to move into a role of being a shepherd for them? Wherever they're at, maybe that person is really far from God. Maybe that person is really close to God. Wherever they are they on your heart? Did God bring them to your mind so you can be a shepherd for them? So you can tell them about the good news? So you can help them through their sickness? So you can walk alongside them? I don't know. Do you think maybe God might be wanting to work through you to advance his kingdom in that place? What can you do within the boundaries of your workplace or your home to improve the spiritual climate that exists there? Is there someone that needs to be fed? Someone that needs to find healing? Has God placed you there to care for that person's soul? Maybe you start a Bible study for people who won't go to church, but they'll come to your house and talk to you about faith. Maybe you start a specific time of the day where you pray for someone else's spiritual needs. You set aside 10 minutes, not for anything of your own purpose, but to care for the soul of someone else. Maybe you just need to actually start telling people about your faith. Maybe you need to speak about what it is that God's done in your life and be a witness to what Christ has done. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you, probably even now, about who he's speaking to you about, I just want to encourage you to do it. We will come up with hundreds of reasons why we can't become a shepherd and why we need to stay a sheep. There are so many reasons. I don't feel prepared for that discussion. I feel inadequate for that discussion. I don't have time for that person. I don't want to exert myself in my workplace in that way. I don't want to be looked at the way I will be looked at if I make those statements. This is crazy to me, but somewhere in God's plan to save the world, he left room for you. He left room for you to be a part of it. He calls us to be a part of his mission. That is crazy to me. Who has he put in your life that he's called you to come alongside and be a part of what he's doing in their life? Be a part of what he's doing in their home, in their family. I think God is calling us to stop following him from a distance like a sheep. And like Pastor Deneff said in the video, to actually take the steering wheel of the bus or car and drive. To change the spiritual climate in the places that we live and exist. To work alongside him. To help him do the things he's trying to do in this world. I think God is saying to us this morning, in this shift, the same thing he said to the disciples in Mark 6. He said, I see all these people. They're like a sheep without a shepherd. And I think God will point to you this morning and say, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, you go feed them. I've put you here for a reason. You go feed them. I think that that's God's call in this shift. Is for us to be people that take up the reins and start to advance his kingdom in the places that he's put us and with the people he's placed around us.